The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, you might not be working today on Friday after Thanksgiving, but the fantasy cops are certainly on the clock. We welcome you to Fantasy Football Today. Adam, Jamie, and Dan here. It is an early show. We usually record it at about 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 11:30 a.m. Eastern today, so we don't have a lot of news. We're hoping that some of that, you know, the practice stuff comes in while we are on the air. All right, so Jamie, I know you had a great Thanksgiving, and your mom, or your wife made those pumpkin and what was the other pie that she made?
Cherry
pie, and you love them. Dan, how was your Thanksgiving? What was the best thing you ate?
Great Thanksgiving. It was a lot of fun seeing my family I haven't seen in a while, especially my cousins in from Minnesota. Best thing I ate? That's a great question. I actually think it was something that's not very traditional Thanksgiving. My dad makes a flank steak with a really good marinade, and it's he cooks it really well on the grill, and so I'm going to go with the flank steak.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Invite me next year. That sounds really good. All right, we got your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, Apple Podcast questions.
What chance Dan actually invites you for Thanksgiving?
Oh, zero. And the chance zero. I'd come are, like are to, negative five.
Well, he would never come, but I would like to have Adam there. Adam's an entertaining dude. He would be fun. He would fit in, too.
If it were just me, I would go, but I wouldn't bring my family. Yeah, that'd be weird, but I would go.
I'm just hoping for Adam's sake that he has an actual traditional Thanksgiving next year. He's now like going to.
No, I did. We did it this year.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
you went sick? You put everyone at risk?
No, she was not sick. She recovered. So everything was good, and we had a traditional Thanksgiving. It was a joy. All right. So we don't Thanksgiving mailbag is always the fewest emails we get all year. So we don't have a ton of questions, but we will get to what we have, including the email of the day. I didn't put this in the notes. I wanted to surprise you guys with this one. The subject is an email from a frustrated guy named Alan. And the subject was, thanks for throwing my money away. Yeah, this is terrific. And he says, Adam, he addressed it to me. Last season, championship week, I reached out to ask who to start, AJ Brown or Antonio Brown. You said Antonio, who promptly ripped off his jersey and left the field in dramatic fashion. I should have learned from that, but I didn't. I followed you, Jamie, Dave, and Heath's picks in my drafts. AJ Dillon, Kadarius Toney, Kyle Pitts, Gabe Davis, DJ Moore, Khalil Herbert, and all the other upside players got me to a 5-7 record. He's already giving himself a loss. 5-7 record and behind the eight ball after last night's games, Thanksgiving. Have you or any of the others listed ever played a down of football?
There we go.
I would wager Dave, yes, maybe Heath, but you, absolutely not. Done with your podcast, done with your, quote, expertise, and done with this season. Hope you stub your pinky toe on the bed frame or table at least 20 times the next year. Thanks for nothing.
So you've been in the industry for a long time. I certainly have. Dan, I know you're relatively new by comparison, but you've been around it certainly long enough. How many fantasy analysts do you know that have actually played football?
That's what I said to this guy. I mean, he was taking out his frustrations on me, and we had a little bit of a back and forth after, and it got a little less heated. But you want to hear his response? Because that's what I said. I said, fine. I'll tell you exactly what I said. Did you ever play a down? Is what he said after I respond. Do you honestly think that matters? You couldn't possibly think that. Why don't you go find some former NFL players who are giving fantasy football advice and tell me how that works out for you? And he said, I bleeping hate fantasy football. Don't know why I keep playing. Has absolutely ruined football for me. Thanks for all the oh, wait. Oh, that was before. Oh, no. His response was, yes, it does matter. when you or another pundit say this player sucks or that player sucks, you don't know what it took for them to get there. You don't know about two-a-days puking up your guts running the gassers in 100 degrees heat in July and August. You don't know the pain of tackling in snowy weather or the pain of pulled hamstring, groin, separated shoulders. Pick an injury. So yes, it does matter. Just for optics' sakes, be aware that when you besmirch a player with words like terrible, sucks, horrible, etc. With that being said, Merry Christmas, Happy and Safe New Year.
My favorite usually is, you suck, you this, you that. Then you reply back to them. And it's like, yeah, I kind of see your point. By the way, who should I start in week 7?
that happens a lot.
Do you think that football players know what it's like to talk for 7 days straight with a strained voice? I mean, that's just terrible.
I know, right? And the training that we do for that, 2 waters a day.
The pain we go through.
The pain.
The emergency that I've been taking this past week to make sure I don't get sick. The other thing is about the funniest part of this email. He goes, he hates me for recommending Antonio Brown over AJ Brown in week 17. If you go back week 17 last year, Antonio Brown ripped off his jersey, left the field in disgrace, will probably never play another down of football again. He scored half a point less than AJ Brown that week.
AJ Brown was terrible that week. Amazing.
So anyway, thank you for the comedy, Alan, and I hope you make up with fantasy football and come on back. For everybody that's not Alan, you're not invited to use our promo code, but for everyone else, you can get a 25%.
No, of course he is.
All right, fine.
He's invited.
Get 20%.
It's better if he's walking around wearing our merchandise. Yeah. An angry person.
Well, it's not just our merchandise. It's anything in the CBS sports store. So
we work for CBS, so yes.
I thought you meant like the FFT stuff, but no. Anything in the CBS sports store, you can get for 25% off for your entire purchase. 25% off your entire purchase from the CBS sports store with the code Friday at checkout. The promotion started November 25th at 2022 at 12 a.m. Eastern, so it's underway. It ends November 27th, 2022 at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. All orders must be from the CBS Sports Store and added to the cart from the URL beginning with https://store.cbssports.com/. Promo code must be entered at checkout in order to be applied. Promo codes will not be added automatically. Promo codes cannot be applied retrospectively by you or our customer service team. Promo codes are not valid for online gift card purchases, and promo code cannot be used with sale or charitable items. No news and notes at the moment. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just say one thing to Alan? That was Alan, right? That was his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Alan, I'm curious if Alan himself played football. We never got to that. I guess that never went through the back and forth in your emails.
But I didn't care.
To play football yourself, you have to be mentally tough. And being a fantasy football player is you have to be mentally tough. It's 90% pain and frustration, but that 10% when your season goes well and you win the championship, that joy is worth everything. It's just like being a sports fan. So I don't know if he's mentally tough. I don't know if he's ever played sports because he's just quitting fantasy football after a couple frustrating years. So Alan, I would suggest maybe you should, you know, look back at your history and we can see if you played any football, if you touched any grass.
I don't want to have another email exchange with him. So I think I'm fine not knowing. But
that's my favorite. When people tell me to touch grass, that's my favorite one.
I never heard that.
Touch grass.
Look, we've done shows with NFL athletes and they don't know anything about fantasy football. And that's not an insult to them, but there's actually a lot that goes into it. It's just different what they look at and what we look at, but I think most people understand.
No, I mean, look, it is a fairly common complaint for people to sometimes get offended when we say this guy sucks. You know, like you are being a little derogatory towards somebody. Now you could say their play sucks. You could say that their performance sucks. It does take obviously a lot to get to the NFL level. We're not discrediting that by any stretch, but you know, when somebody is playing poorly and we have high expectations for them, certainly, you know, We talked about a few of them on our earlier show today, Friday, that it gets frustrating, you know, so
yeah,
it's understandable.
But that's the sports media industry. I mean, who's talking, which sports media analyst is going, well, Baker Mayfield, he has worked really hard and he's great at being a quarterback, but in comparison to just NFL quarterbacks, he's not good. No, everybody's like, sure. Baker Mayfield's not, that's how it works. I mean,
Russell Westbrook's a Hall of Famer by most standards. And there's a pretty famous sports analyst who calls him Russell Westbrook, you know, so.
Right. Yeah. He didn't like that, by the way. All right. Time for our Apple Podcast questions. We'll start with those. This is from Noah. Who should I start this week in non-PPR? Deontay Foreman, Christian Kirk, Cortland Sutton, Rashad White, or Keenan Allen? Non-PPR, Foreman, Kirk, Sutton, Rashad White, Keenan Allen.
I think I'm going with Keenan Allen here.
I would go with Rashad White if Leonard Fournette is out. And I would go with Sutton over Allen in non-PPR.
Where's the Fournette situation at? Because I haven't seen the latest update. Is he trending toward not playing?
He's been limited in practice. I'm going to guess he plays, but you know the Bucs saying they're riding the hot hand. I might go Rashad White anyway, to be honest with you, just because if he is the guy for the Bucs to whatever extent, 80% of the touches, that could be pretty good against Browns.
From Seahawks are the best? ? What do you do when you have two wide receivers in the same offense? Specifically, I have Lockett and Metcalf, and they are probably my two best wide receivers. Should I just start them together this week, every week? I also have Judy, Ayuk, and Devontae Smith, and I need to start three receivers. So the immediate question is pick three out of Lockett, Metcalf, Ayuk, and Devontae Smith.
I mean, if you want to split up the Seahawks, you can play Lockett over Metcalf. Is PPR?
I don't know.
In PPR, I'd play Lockett over Metcalf. In non-PPR, I'd play Metcalf over Lockett. If you want to split them up, I think you go Ayuk over Devontae. Is it two or three?
Three.
Yeah, if you want to play Smith over Metcalf, I mean, I would just play the two Seahawks guys. They're playing the Raiders. It's a pretty good situation.
Yeah.
I think it's based on, to answer this question, I think it's based on the matchup. If you have a great matchup like this Raiders one is, you can play both. I mean, you can expect that both will have good fantasy games against one of the worst pass defenses.
This is from Gambino Mafia. Are you at all worried about Chris Godwin's matchup this week? Cleveland has been good against wide receivers the last month or so. Yes, they have been. And start two, Godwin, Pittman, and Palmer in PPR.
Godwin and Pittman.
I would go Godwin and Pittman too, but as far as answering his question, the first part of it goes, I would say I am worried about the matchup, especially because the Browns right now on run defense have to be, I think they're arguably, I know Houston's last in the NFL, but when you watch like the film of what the Browns are doing on run defense, they have so many small bodies on the field right now. They don't have anyone on the interior defensive line. I think they took Taven Bryan, who's like a total draft bust from the Jaguars. They're starting him on the interior. They have small linebackers. So I think there's a chance the Bucs could just control the clock, run the ball the entire game, and it can be like a low pass volume game for the Bucs. So I would be a little bit worried about Godwin in this matchup.
If Mike Williams is out, would you not start Palmer over Pittman?
Not against that defense. No, we talked about it.
Yeah, I would still start Pittman there. I would almost consider Palmer over Godwin before Palmer over Pittman.
Really? I don't really feel that way about Pittman, I guess.
I think you know what you're getting with Pittman. You're getting probably 6 for 70.
Yeah,
if you're
exactly
going to tell
right.
me I'm getting 6 for 70, then I would bet on more than that from Palmer. But obviously there's upside.
We've talked about this, what outside receivers against the Cardinals do. And now with Keenan Allen there, he's playing outside.
Yeah, but they don't have their best cornerback.
But you said it doesn't matter the last 2 weeks either.
I know. It was John Wolford in one game.
By the way, just – sorry, go ahead.
No, I was the same, just repeating myself. Go ahead.
I just looked. 6 of the last 9 games for the Seahawks, both guys have had 13 or more PPR points.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, this is from Core2186. Trading Ramondre Stevenson and CeeDee Lamb for Travis Kelce and DJ Moore. Too much, too little, or just right?
Ramondre Stevenson and CeeDee Lamb for Travis Kelce and
DJ Moore. Yeah, that is a bad trade.
That's a bad trade right now.
Yeah.
He did it before last night, before the Harris injury, but I love Kelce, but
Ramondre was trending up even before that injury.
The only way this trade comes out more in your favor is if they sign Beckham, the Cowboys do, and then CeeDee Lamb, I don't want to say goes in the tank, but certainly tails off a little bit.
After that game, do you think they will?
I think they will sign Beckham.
Which team do you think Beckham is going to favor after Thursday night's game?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't think. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Jamie.
No.
I was just going to say, I don't think it's even about who Beckham favors. I think Beckham's been using the Giants' as leverage this entire time. Joe Shane's not signing a 30-year-old Beckham coming off 2 ACLs to a big deal long-term. Jerry Jones, as Dak Prescott said last night, is like willing to go over the top for this. So I'm pretty sure he's going to the Cowboys.
Right, unless he goes to Buffalo or Kansas City.
Yeah, I guess he could even be using the Cowboys as leverage too. You're right.
All right, injury update here. Joe Mixon not seen at practice. We have really no expectation that he's
Ryan week.
Yeah. All right, next question from Apple Podcast is from AZ Wildcat 36. Who should I start at flex and running back? So we need a running back and a flex in non-PPR. The running backs are Elijah Mitchell. Well, it was Elijah Mitchell and DeAndre Swift, so sorry about that. So you're starting Mitchell.
Go Elijah.
The flex is Josh Palmer, Treylon Burks, Darius Slayton, or that's it. Palmer or Treylon Burks?
Palmer.
Yeah, Palmer in that spot.
Even if Williams plays, I'd play Palmer.
All right, this is from Wake Up 23. It says, less is more, M-O-O-R-E. I've been playing fake foosball for 6 years now. Ooh, news update. Raheem Mostert may not play. He's going to be a game time decision.
Hello.
Hey, start of the week. been playing fake foosball for 6 years. 6 years now. I've had some lucky swings in my favor, but this one tops them all. Going into Monday night's game, I'm down 0.4. And my opponent has Rondale Moore. I absolutely hate when people do this, but I send him a text saying, good job, better luck to me next week, and the only way I can win is if Moore fumbles behind the line early and doesn't play another snap, and then I'm good. Of course, that exact thing happens, and I go on to win 147.2 to 146.5. High stakes league, and I need to win every matchup with three remaining. Just thought I would share. Felt kind of good and kind of wrong at the same time. Happy Thanksgiving.
Do you remember my worst fantasy beat ever?
No.
I've told a story before. So I'm in the playoffs. It's first round of the playoffs. Our tiebreaker rule, which obviously sucks, is reserve points. Ugh. We are tied starters through bench all the way through. Exactly the same points. Our entire roster all the way through is tied. Unbelievable situation.
Wow.
So we come to the conclusion that this is Sunday night. One of us has a player on our roster playing Monday night, which is me, which is Tim Hightower for the Cardinals. All he needs is 1 point. He fumbles on his first carry and never sees the field again. And I lose.
Oh my God.
I did know that story. I totally forgot. Unfreaking believable. Oh my gosh. Did you get mad? Did you get mad? Do you remember?
Of course. You know, I'm like, it's one of those like, all right, he'll come back into the game at some point. And he had a fumble problem that year, too. So it was like, nope, he's nothing to feel again.
No, because I'm definitely like, are you kidding me? This mother down. Like, I'm definitely like cursing up a storm.
I get mad. I get despondent. I lost my two most important leagues last week when that stupid Kittle touchdown, where the Cardinals had three chances to tackle him out of bounds, and they just gave up on the play. And I was just so angry at that display of football. I will say this to Wake Up 123, though. I'm for it. I think reverse jinxing. I think there's a skill to reverse jinxing, which you did here. You're like, oh, the matchup's over. Good game, man. That's a skill. You know, you throw the reverse jinx in. It is a skill. You throw the reverse jinx in. It's judged on how well you reverse jinx it. And don't feel bad about a reverse jinx. You're trying to win the game. So anything you need to win the game without cheating and collusion, which that's none of, I'm for.
All right. This is from John. Grade the trade. I give up Damian Pierce and Tyler Boyd for Jeff Wilson. I mean, essentially, it's Pierce for Wilson.
I think I like it. I'm so in on Wilson rest of season now, especially if Mostert could be down for a little.
Yes.
So grade it. Yep. C is even.
Oh, I'm going to give it an A.
A? That's a little
loud.
A. Eric? That's a little loud.
A, Rick. I'm a little down on Pierce rest of the season, first of all. And I think Wilson, I said this, I think, on the Monday, or no, I wasn't on the Monday, in the Tuesday night stream with you, Adam. I think Wilson could be like a surprise league winner down the stretch with the way that teams are playing that Miami offense. The safeties are playing so far off the ball.
All right, the last one is no name on this one. Can we please get a game of the week mixtape at the end of the year with all of Adam's game of the week songs?
It's got to be with Dave's reaction to it, though.
Yeah, not this week, because Dave ruined that by not being on, and Jamie ruined that by like spoiling it, basically. I couldn't even pretend. Anyway, the Fantasy Cops will be here when we come back. We're going to take a quick break and settle some league disputes after this.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this, too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Okay, I like the Fantasy Cops submissions this week. We got some good ones. Our first one is from a soiled manager. Yikes.
As in they feed themselves?
A little adult diaper run here. All right, so soiled manager says, hey, Fantasy Cops, 10-team PPR league among co-workers, $50 buy-in, 6-team playoffs start in week 15. The top two teams get a bye, and I'm in first place. All pretty standard stuff. And then on Tuesday, November 22nd, we get a notification from the commissioner that she is expanding the playoffs to 8 teams starting in week 14 when there are players on bye and there are no first-round byes. I texted the commissioner in complete disbelief asking, what's going on here? She said that her boss, who is currently in 8th place, asked her to expand the playoffs so more teams have a chance. She told me she didn't know what to do because it's her boss, so she made the change. Here's the kicker. The commissioner is in 7th place, so she also gets a seat at the big dance. Fantasy Cops, what is this tomfoolery? What do I do?
Wow. No way that should be allowed.
What do
that
you
is
do,
absurd.
Though?
Absurd. What do you do? Yeah, that's a good, the better question is, what do you do now? Because you got someone who's scared of her boss, obviously. Yeah, you lose your job.
Oh, my gosh.
You go off on everybody and you get fired by the big boss. So it's a co-worker league, right? So it's also his boss, I assume, right? Or do you think
it could be different?
Yeah, it could be a different
manager. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? If I were the boss and I said to my employee, I want you to change the playoffs so more people get in, i.e. I get in, and the employee did that, I would have questions about how that employee would handle themselves if they're right. Bending rules to make something happen for other people.
Oh, well, HR needs to be involved in this.
Yeah, maybe they get HR involved in this. That's a very good point, Jamie. Now you got to question what this commish, what she's doing in this spot, how she's going to react under pressure if something important happens. I like that take.
All right, but in all seriousness, here's what I would do. You have to have somewhat of a relationship with her boss, somewhat of a friendship with her boss. I would go into her boss's office or talk to the boss somehow and be like, whoa, I can't believe that she expanded the playoffs. Like, what is that all about? You know, and not bring her into it and get her. And then when you find out, when you get the confession that it was the boss's idea, you got to, you need to bring it up. If you can do that without any repercussions, you need to bring it up. You need to leave her out of this and try to make this right. Because it's so wrong.
I don't even think you need to do that. You reference what the rules were at the beginning of the season. Say, I'm sorry that you're getting left out of the playoffs, but this is what was established before the season. You cannot be changing the playoff parameters or any rules in the league before next season happens. So do better.
Are you
Try
doing this
harder.
On the message board? Because I think you got to do it on the message board. So the boss sees.
You definitely have to do it on the message board, Emma. I didn't know what you were talking about with going to the boss's office. Are you suggesting like, hey, can you block out like 9:30 on your calendar? Can you block out at 9:30 a.m. on Monday in your calendar?
I think
very important to talk about.
I think if you involve it in a work setting, you're putting yourself in jeopardy of bringing work into this. Yeah. You leave it strictly in the fantasy league.
You pop in. I'm thinking you got a relationship. You pop into the office.
Adam, you haven't been to an office in 4 years.
I used to pop in. You know,
that's why
you were never a pop in guy.
I popped in.
You were never a pop in.
See, here's the reality. We always say that you move for love. You really move because they told you not to come back.
Yeah, no, I moved so I can work from home. Next up is Chris. Hey, Fantasy Cops, settle this dispute. One manager in our league became inactive in week 7. He stopped making roster moves, and he would leave injured players and bye week players in his lineup. Before week 9, someone in our league noticed that this manager had been inactive for a couple of weeks and brought it up in our group chat. The now inactive manager replied to that message by saying he was sorry for quitting, but life had gotten really out of control and he no longer had time to invest in fantasy football. We were all disappointed, but we understood and we wished him all the best. So week 7 was when it started. Week 9 was when they figured it out. He played these two games with all these players on bye, injured players in his lineup. After that conversation, our commissioner decided to bench that guy's entire roster for the remainder of the season, beginning in week 9.
What?
Because he's not playing anymore, and essentially gave an automatic win to whoever that guy is playing every week. I played the inactive team in week 7. He left Darrell Henderson in his lineup when he was on a bye, and I lost to him. So I asked the commissioner to change my loss to a win, since everybody else is going to get an automatic win against this team starting in week 9. And you guessed it, my request was laughed at and denied. Does my commissioner need to be fired, or am I being a sore loser since I'm probably going to miss the playoffs because all of the automatic wins to the other teams?
Your commissioner needs to be fired. This was a horrible way to deal with this. If anything, if he wants to do this whole thing where he's benching the lineup from week 9 on, then he has to go back and retroactively give a win to every single player, in my opinion, at least every single team that played him from week 1 through 8.
No, because he was playing at that point.
So what? You're now giving away free wins?
Well, yeah.
The obvious thing you're supposed to do here as a commissioner is set the lineup for him. Maybe not do any free agency the rest of the year, obviously, but set the lineup every week for him, including those 2 weeks. You go back and you set it for those 2 weeks as well. In my mind, at least, it's not set no lineup the rest of the season and give free wins to whoever luck boxes into having him on the schedule. That's a terrible idea, no?
I would think if it's been a lineup that has not been altered in some way for the first part of the season, an admission to taking the season off and not being an active participant, I agree with what Dan said. That way, anything that happened prior to that, at least you're leaving it up to chance as opposed to just giving wins away for no reason at all, while not obviously retroactively giving wins to those teams that faced the same scenario previously because, again, up to chance. So the only thing I would disagree with, Dan, is that you should the commissioner step in and should set the lineup with what players are there. And then if there's anybody injured or on a bye after waivers run last day of the week, you go take the highest projected player and you could swap out whatever injuries, as long as you're not dropping players that will impact the rest of the league.
I'm good with that too, because the fact of the matter is, like, you can't have a league where you just have a team completely bottom out in the sense that they're not starting a lineup. That can't be a good scenario for anyone involved.
Well, once it's already been going on, you know, so like this person here who lost in week 7, you lost by chance. You lost because the players that were active and still participating on that person's team performed better than what you had. I mean, we all go through situations like that where somebody forgets to change a bye week player or forgets to pop on an injury player. It happens. You know, people have lives. They're not obviously staring at their fantasy teams 24/7 like we are. Mm-hmm. So I think as long as the commissioner could step in and realistically, and the week that the commissioner is playing that team, somebody should have a pair of eyes on it as well, that you're making sure that the best optimal lineup that they can perform without altering the league in some way, shape, or form, so not making first runs or waivers or add drops, whatever, they should be able to set a competitive lineup, and however it comes out, it comes out.
God, you can't find one person to join the league and take over the team.
Would you ever want to do that, though?
I mean,
no, I agree with Jamie. I would never want to do that. So I wouldn't, but
somebody would.
I think you know,
three of us just said we wouldn't. So who are you going to find to do that?
You could probably find a sibling in a league. You know, I mean, I'm obviously old enough, you know, where my kids, you know, would probably take over a league.
You can find someone.
You know, you probably find something like that.
All right, this one is from Juan. I have a league that's pretty serious. One of the new guys who is a very competitive person, but out of the playoffs, continues to use their top waiver priority for the new people, the Latavius Murrays of the world, Samaje Perine, whatever, even though he's eliminated from the playoffs. We have a weekly winning for most points and money for the toilet bowl. But my family and my uncles and my childhood friends will get annoyed at him using his waiver claims. I kind of hinted at him that at 8 losses, no one should be using waiver claims. Add drops are to be done after the... This is ridiculous, isn't it?
could not disagree more with this email.
I know, especially since they have weekly winnings for the highest score. I'm sorry, Wad, but this is a terrible, terrible take. Terrible.
I think it's a terrible take regardless. The weekly winnings locks it in is obviously a bad take, but let people play. Like, even if they're out of the playoffs, until the playoffs start, then obviously that changes. You shouldn't allow ad drops in the playoffs or teams officially eliminated, but let people play until then. It's still it's still a fun game, fantasy football. You still want to have something to look forward to on Sunday. You set your lineup as best as you can to try to win and have fun with that, Sam. Like, I don't know. I just don't like this at all from Juan.
So let's open it up to this comment here from Jimmy J. Resetting waivers are the worst. Do we all agree?
Resetting waivers? What does that mean?
Like, so the worst
rolling waivers
gets first priority.
Yeah, the worst team gets the first priority every week.
Anything but free agent. I'm going to say anything but free agent.
No, that's a cop out. I knew you were going to say that. And that's a cop out.
Why? That's right. How's that a cop out? That's correct.
Fab is great. Fab's the best. Wonderful. However, I don't want all of my leagues to be Fab. It would be a little annoying.
Why?
I like some waiver leagues. I like it. I like the waiver wire process.
Really?
So I,
Jamie, do you agree with that? Hold on, Jamie, do you agree with that take? Would you?
I also like variety. I mean, Fab is definitely like the variety. Best, most fair way to do it. But I enjoy all different forms of waivers. I think there's a way that if resetting waivers, your team stinks, you're able to get yourself back into it. There's no other way around that, you know, by giving you that privilege. But I also think there's some serious strategy involved where waivers don't reset. So you have to make some serious choices when it comes to what you decide to do and what you don't decide to do.
You know, I don't think I've ever played in a league like that where waivers don't reset and you can just keep your number one waiver wire priority. I've never played in a league like that. I don't think anyway.
So I'm in one league where I'm terrible. I think two and nine. But it's waivers that don't reset. It's our 24 or maybe 22 teams this year, 22 team office league. So you make a decision and it's a bad one, which I think I did. And you go to the back of the bus when it comes to waivers, well, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh. 22 teams. All right. Thank you all for your Fantasy Cop submissions. Good stuff today. Appreciate it. Also, like, there was one that was, this guy that we don't like trading with, he's kind of a bully. I think it was he traded Chris Godwin and James Conner for Justin Jefferson, and everyone's up in arms. Like, no, that's fine. He got himself Justin Jefferson. Good for him. People, stop getting mad about trades that make good teams better. You know, it was a fine trade. Please, that's not the way it's supposed to work. You can't get mad about trades like that. All right, let's go to our emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Bill in Oak Forest. Jameson Williams, when he comes off IR, who do I drop to make room? Gerald Everett, Taysom Hill, Cortland Sutton, George Pickens, or Christian Watson?
One of those things is not like the other.
It's one of the tight ends.
Taysom Hill.
You wait and see. You wait and see till after this week.
What are you saying?
On Tuesday.
They played Taysom Hill a season high at quarterback. He had 9 carries. If next week Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are back and Josh Palmer's in the fold and they're not playing actually does have great matchups, you might have a pretty useless player in Gerald Everett and you might have a guy getting 8-9 carries a game in Taysom Hill.
But what did Taysom Hill do with those wonderful 9 carries?
I'd still rather have him with 9 carries than Gerald Everett most weeks if he's really going to get 9 carries. I mean, that's a lot. But It's clearly one of the tight ends, and you don't have to make the decision.
It's not clearly one. It's one.
We'll see. Are you going to owe me an apology after this week?
I'm with Jamie on this one. It's definitely Hill.
You both are going to owe me an apology. All right. Fake Italian Dan. How would you say this guy's name? S-A-L-V-A-T-O-R-E.
Salvatore.
Salvatore. Okay.
I'm kidding. It's probably Sal. I just call him Sal.
All right. We'll call him Sal. I like that. Who should I start in a must-win week to make the playoffs? It's half PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown. Fields or Herbert?
This week?
Yeah.
It's so weird if Fields plays because if he gets hurt, he could miss the rest. He could leave the game. Right. The safer play is Herbert, but the more upside play is Fields because if Fields is Fields, then bye-bye.
Well, who are you going to start?
If Fields is starting, I'm starting Fields.
Okay.
I am too. I just swing for the fences. But I will say this, for all future references, I prefer to be referred to as wannabe Italian, not fake Italian.
Okay, wannabe Italian. Dan Schneier. We got to change your last name, though.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. All right, we need two running backs. Fournette, Kamara, Rashad White, Perine, Latavius.
Two?
Yep, half PPR. Fournette, Kamara, Rashad White, Perine, and Latavius Murray.
It's got to be Kamara, as much as the matchup stinks.
Yeah, you start there, but then it becomes interesting. I think if Fournette sits, you can go White for sure, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going Perine.
If Mixon sits.
Yeah, but in half PPR, though, I mean, I think the only real appeal to me for Perine is PPR because that matchup is so tough.
Yeah.
I might go Latavius.
Ooh, Latavius over Perine if Mixon sits?
I mean, I'd be shocked if Latavius has fewer than 18 total touches.
They're going to be gross touches, though.
They're totally going to be gross touches, but they may have the same amount of receptions, and there's probably a better chance that Latavius scores.
And give me a wide receiver. Oh, no, give me a flex. Keenan Allen, Cortland Sutton, or one of those running backs?
Allen. Allen for me, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Any PPR, I take Allen.
Same.
I have some news. Gus Edwards practicing again. Practiced in full on Thursday, so looks like he's going to play. And what does that mean for Kenyon Drake and Gus Edwards, Jamie?
They're both flexes. I would still lean toward Drake just because I think he's earned enough of a role to still be the lead guy, but it would not be surprising if Edwards is better. So if you could avoid it, avoid it. But if you have to play one of the two, I'd play Drake.
Started from the bottom, now we hit. I just don't understand how Drake is popular. Like he doesn't even speak coherently. I'm never gonna understand it. Never gonna understand the Drake.
I'm out on Drake too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm out on almost all of the mumble rap that goes on today in today's day and age.
Mumble rap, is that a thing?
That's what they call it. Mumble rap.
Seriously?
You saw the news on Von Miller.
Von Miller did not tear his ACL. That's good. This is from Rob. Dear Walter, Peanut, Bubba J, and Jose. Walter, Peanut, Bubba J, and Jose. I mean, there's no chance I know what this is.
The only Walter I know is Walt White.
Yeah.
Bubba J? I don't know.
Oh, this is Jeff Dunham and maybe his puppets? Okay, maybe. Here's an interesting decision to make. It is PPR, but it's also tight end premium. Latavius Murray or Foster Morrow?
Murray,
yeah. Well, tight end premium still going Murray, though.
This is from Barbara. 8-team league, half PPR, 0.3 points per carry. Oh, I guess that doesn't matter. Who is your favorite wide receiver stash rest of season? Lazard, George Pickens, Garrett Wilson, Palmer, Peoples-Jones, Mooney, Rondale Moore, Treylon Burks, or Jameson Williams?
It's between Lazard and Pickens for me. Maybe Garrett Wilson, depending on how Mike White looks, but you have to make a decision now. The only reason I wouldn't say Lazard with full confidence is if Aaron Rodgers decides, as I said on Friday show, decides to shut it down because they're out of contention and that thumb injury is just not worth the risk of, you know, maybe further damage for him. And I would hate to see Jordan Love to Alan Lazard. That would be not fun. Pickens is just trending in the right direction right now, so that might be the safest play to go.
Okay.
I would actually lean Treylon and Wilson here as far as just, well, he wants one or she wants one. So I'm going to say Treylon Burks. I like the upside for Burks rest of the season. I see a path there toward him being potential league winner in those playoff weeks. He's starting to build it. And I can see, you know, they're still the Titans are still needing someone to lean on in that passing game and to try to get it going like they did last year. I'm not saying he can do what AJ Brown did for that passing game, but that's what they drafted him to be. And he was one of my favorite receivers in this class, my number two overall. So I'm just going to go with the talent there and the potential for the situation to boom.
All right. We got to work on
this conversation yesterday. Redrafting right now. Who's the best rookie receiver?
Oh, Olave. NFL wise?
Yep.
Or fantasy?
Olave.
NFL wise, Olave
yeah,
for sure.
Olave's the man. The absolute
more than Jameson,
man.
Though.
Well, I don't know.
Than Jameson. Oh, no. I love Jameson. It's so hard to say because he hasn't played it down yet. But then again, Olave has proven a lot more than I thought he could. It's not that I think he could. I loved Olave early at Ohio State. I don't know why I fell off a little bit at the end.
I loved him his Yeah. I don't know if did he play all 4 years. I loved him. I think his junior year, or maybe it was his sophomore year, his second to last year.
It was the second to last year.
I was
year,
like, holy yeah. cow, this guy pops every single time that he plays. And yeah, I just love the metrics weren't there.
That's what it's always like. We get too focused on the you know, like the, what is it? Like the combine stats and like the measurables. And then you see that graph from Mock Draftables. You're like, oh, you know what? He's not that tall. Doesn't have a great vertical leap. And then, but you watch him on film and he just separates.
Yeah.
So I would go.
Now, where would Pickens come in? Cause you can make a case. He might be the best too.
Right. Pickens is still to me the highest upside of anyone in this class by far because of his size, speed, weight combo. But he's being held back a bit by the quarterback play, I think.
Is he?
He'd probably come in. I think so. He'd probably come in as number three for me after Wilson.
I'll tell you who was held back by the quarterback play last week was Freiermuth. He could have had an even better game.
Yes.
Two of the worst throws that I would say Pickett made last week were to Freiermuth. Definitely one. I'm pretty sure there were two that was like, oh, come on. Anyway, where the hell are we in this? In these notes? Did we answer a question? Okay, yeah. I think we did. From Reed, do I start Jamar Chase, Antonio Gibson, Michael Pittman, Robinson, or Akers?
Just one?
Yeah.
Chase.
Yeah. He plays Chase.
From Devin. Okay, and if he doesn't play, then who? Gibson, Pittman, Robinson, Akers.
Gibson.
Pittman for me.
From Devin, he says, dear Wyatt, Morgan, Virgil, and Doc. I think that's going to be one of the first movies watch. I think that's Tombstone, right? I've never seen it.
Never seen Tombstone either. What is Tombstone about?
Wyatt Earp.
I have no idea.
It's a Western.
Literally none. Western. Gotcha.
Two flexes, please. PPR. Rashad White, Paris Campbell, Chris Olave.
White and Olave.
Yep.
Even agreed. If Fournette plays?
Rule out Swift.
If Fournette plays, you're going with Rashad White?
I'm still going with White. I love that matchup.
The fact that Todd Bowles said we're riding the hot hand.
Pretty sure he said that last week too, or 2 weeks ago before the Seahawks game. And Fournette was more involved than White before the injury.
Well, White started the game. And I think that's it's pretty clear the direction that's heading. If White runs away with the job, it's his job.
That'd be nice. That was a prediction from Greg Allman of The Athletic a couple weeks ago. All right, from Trevor. Sit a receiver. Christian Watson, Alan Lazard, or DJ Moore?
If you don't want to play both Packers, I would play Lazard over Watson this week. So you can play Moore over Watson, but I'd play both Packers.
Yeah. From
the last person I'd bench there is Watson.
From Joe. Dear Joe, Doug, and Mark. Schneier, what do you got here? Joe, Doug, and Mark.
The Washington quarterback? Doug.
They are Washington quarterbacks. Who did what?
Won Super Bowls.
Won the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl winners, yeah.
If Jamar Chase plays this week, is he safe or do I wait and see? I have good options. I have Evans, Godwin, Keenan Allen, and DeAndre Hopkins, and Travis Etienne. So this actually might be a scenario where you could sit Chase. He needs three receivers and a flex. So he has Chase, Evans, Godwin, Keenan Allen, and Hopkins. Who are your three receivers?
I mean, Hopkins and I'm sorry. Give me the names again.
Yeah, you got Hopkins, you got Keenan Allen, you have Evans, Godwin, and Jamar Chase. Three of them.
Hopkins is a must. That's the easy one. I think you split up the Bucks.
I'm not betting like ETN.
ETN will come to later. He's the flex.
Okay.
Just Jamie, go ahead. Give me your three receivers, Jamie. Go ahead. Hopkins,
Godwin, Chase.
That's my exact picks, too.
I think I might go. I'm going to go Keenan Allen. I'm going to go Hopkins, Keenan Allen, and Chase, especially because there could be like torrential rain in Cleveland.
True.
But I don't really see why Godwin's better than Keenan Allen. You know?
I take that back. I'm going Allen. I want to be out a little bit on the Bucks pass game in this matchup. So I'll go Allen there. But I'm not benching Chase. That's the original question. Like if they're playing Chase, he's healthy. He's going to be himself, I don't think. I don't think they would rush this back. They're in the playoff hunt. They've been fine without him. There's nothing to indicate that they're rushing him back and they feel desperate and they'll use him as a decoy or something like that.
All right, and then you can throw either Travis Etienne or a Bucks wide receiver in at flex.
Etienne.
I'll play Godwin.
All right, this is from Jeremy emailed. He says, dear Mitch, Sam, Josh R., and Zach. Mitch, Sam, Josh R., and Zach. Huh. Are they Jets Jeremy. Quarterbacks, maybe? I don't know.
Rosen,
I really like
right?
that, Jeremy.
You like that, Jeremy?
Oh, Josh. I really like that, Jeremy.
I don't know who this is.
I wish he could do the 1 point.
Yeah, it's Jets quarterbacks, yes.
Oh, cool. Should I start Brian Robinson or Cam Akers? Or Raheem Mostert? Raheem Mostert, if he plays, would be the third option.
Akers.
I think that Akers and Robinson are basically the same type of guy because they need to score. They're not going to be involved in the passing game.
True.
Robinson definitely has a better matchup. But maybe Akers gets a few more passes this week because of who they're playing. So I lean Akers too.
What'd you think? You thought you liked my Pearl Jam there?
I did. I, at some point, I wish he did like the breakdown at the end there. You know how he does? He goes through that whole song. And he does it. I always wondered if you ever met Eddie Vedder in person. That's the one.
Right.
I always wondered if you've ever met him in person, if you'd be like, hello, I'm Eddie, or something like that. Like, is that his voice in real life, or is it just totally exaggerated?
I don't know, man. You know, it's a great, great cover that you should, that everybody should go watch after, you know, sometimes the celebrity deaths really get to me. And Tom Petty, I was very sad. So I watched a ton of Tom Petty stuff on YouTube. Eddie Vedder does The Waiting with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. But they are, Eddie Vedder sings lead vocals. Both of them sing. So it's a live performance of Eddie Vedder playing, cool. singing The Waiting with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Strongly recommend a YouTube stream of that one. Or go watch it. Not a stream, but go watch it.
I'll check that out.
All right. I think we said Akers in all of that. So let's read your YouTube questions here. All right. What is this all about? I'm betting Adam and Dan that Trevor Lawrence goes shredder for 30 fantasy points against the Ravens. I will take that bet.
I'll take that bet too, in a heartbeat. What are we betting, Ilya?
So you guys never sing again.
all right. Adam probably had pie for breakfast. He's wired. I had a Kind bar for breakfast.
I had pie for breakfast.
Hey, what flavor?
Like pumpkin.
Oh, you had pie for breakfast. I thought you said a Kind bar. Oh,
quick top five pie rankings, because our editor-in-chief staff, Adi, I don't know why I just called him that, but the main guy on the editorial side, Adi, ranked pies last night on Twitter, and I thought his rankings were somewhat solid. Blueberry was his first pick, which I thought was a nice sleeper pick, but he had apple pie like 8 of 10. Is that a horrible ranking, or is it just me?
It's horrible.
Right? Apple's great. Apple crumb is great.
I mean, you're going to, of course, I mean, this can go in the thread for Heath's thread, but I don't like pie at all. I just, it's cake. Cake is so much better than pie.
Oh, no. Pie is better than cake.
My top three, I can't give you five pies that I would actually eat. My top three would be apple pie, banana cream pie, which I had last night, and humble pie after all of my fantasy predictions. So, but I only would eat two.
Jamie, are you pie or cake, Jamie?
I probably would go cake over pie, but I'm a dessert whore, so I would not turn down anything.
All right, so what are your top five pies, Dan, since you brought it up?
Blueberry starts at one, apple two, pecan, incredibly underrated, three. Let's see I would probably go banana cream, or no, key lime four, banana cream. What did you use? Key lime's great.
It's better than pecan pie. Pecan pie, like, you're just eating pecans. Like, what is the point of pecan pie?
Pecan pie is great.
Pecan pie might be the worst of the things.
Yeah, terrible.
What? A good pecan pie is so underrated.
What is in a pecan pie? Is it just pecans? Is there anything else for flavor?
I feel like there's got to be like caramel. It tastes like caramel, some sort of caramel.
Caramel. Caramel. We really on this? You still can't say caramel? You say it the way 8-year-olds say it. It's ridiculous.
I'm still saying it the way I say it.
Well, I mean, you keep saying Foster Moreau's name wrong, so he gets to say that wrong.
You just said it wrong, by the way. What is Dutch apple pie? Dutch apple pie is awesome. Also, pecan is awesome and underrated, like Dan said. It's from Octagon.
Thank you. Good take.
It's amazing that Dan got his burner on there while still sitting.
all right, more. If you have more questions on on YouTube. Fire away. Dan liking pecan pie makes so much sense. I agree.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen or Donovan Peoples-Jones?
Keenan Allen.
Allen, sure.
By the way, Corey Davis is going to play, which brings us into this question here. Garrett Wilson, Christian Kirk, or Christian Watson?
Kirk.
Yeah, Kirk.
And Taysom Hill or Dulcich? Dulcich?
Dulcich.
Yep. Oh, peach cobbler. Now that sounds good. I could get behind some peach cobbler.
Yeah, but is that actually a pie, though? Is peach cobbler its own thing?
I don't know.
I don't think it is a pie, considered in the pie rankings.
Mr. Scampers wants us to pronounce it pecan. Yeah, that's...
pecan pie. Yeah, nah, pecan.
Is Aaron Jones playing? I think he's playing. I saw he was on the injury report. What's his deal?
Yeah, he's supposed to be playing.
A coconut cream pie, Dan H. That would be one of my least favorite desserts in the world. Coconut is poison.
Why?
I don't like
coconut's
like
great.
Coconut.
Oh, you're terrible.
Where does Tyler Conklin rank? Where's that question? There was a question. Where does Tyler Conklin rank rest of season with the quarterback change?
Anytime they're going to throw the ball more, you like Tyler Conklin, Garrett Wilson, Corey Davis. It was the Joe Flacco tenure. It was the two games of Zach Wilson actually throwing the ball. I mean, I think if they let Mike White throw, it'll be okay.
Read this question. I have to Google something. What's the question?
For PPR, Pickens, Burks, or Palmer for the flex?
I think I lean in this matchup Palmer. But
Palmer easily.
Close.
Mike Williams is out. If Mike Williams is in, I might go Pickens.
I do have some news for you here. According to Google, cobbler is sometimes described as a kind of fruit pie, but strictly speaking, the two are different. Pies are made from pastry rather than biscuit batter, and they are fully encased with a crust at the top and the bottom, while cobblers typically only have a topping. That comes from finediningLovers.com. So there's no bottom on the cobbler. Okay, that's interesting.
So I was right. It's not considered a pie.
You're the man now, dog. Palmer or Foreman?
Palmer.
Thank you for that confirmation. That's all I needed to go on with my weekend. Palmer.
Non-PPR. Sanders, Latavius, Montgomery, Olave, or Mitchell? Ooh.
I might go Sanders.
Non-PPR. Sanders. I think I have to go Sanders there in that matchup. It's non-PPR.
Let's see. Chase or Latavius Murray?
Chase.
And I'm just going to leave this one up for a while. It says no coconut. Agree with that. A lot of questions here. Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, rest of season?
Ayuk.
I think I would go Ayuk in that regard, too.
The Commanders are placing linebacker Cole Holcomb on IR. And he's been out for, I think, 3 games, and now they're putting him on IR. It's a tough blow. Banana bread with chocolate chips is awesome. Agree with that. Completely is one of my all-time favorites. Rashad White or Miles Sanders in PPR?
Sanders, unless Fournette is up.
I think I would go White here. I think that I see a little bit. I'm pretty high on both Bucs backs, even if Fournette does play, and I think White will kind of lead the way. He mentioned the hot hand. Fournette's hurt, so and there is definitely more potential for passing volume with White over Sanders, right?
I mean, last game that White didn't catch a pass, but I don't think that's an indication of what's fully for him.
Especially
if he has a bigger role.
You know, people have been wondering, like, why is Leonard Fournette not losing his job? He's been so bad all year, basically. So, you know, inefficient. Because Rashad White was not doing much better. So they finally both had a good game. White was better than Fournette. Most of it coming in the fourth quarter. That's fine. I think we might be assigning a little bit of skill level or you know, it could just be the offensive line, too. A little bit of success, I would say, to Rashad White a little bit early here. I'm just saying that if Fournette does play, Dan, I think you're a little too high on Rashad White. That's if Fournette plays.
I might be.
If he doesn't play, we'll find out
this week.
All right, two more here. Hurts or Geno?
Hurts.
Yeah, Hurts still.
And, all right, if Fournette sits, Rashad White or Damian Pierce?
White.
I'm going White, too. Maybe I am too high on White.
No, I mean, look, if you're... No, I'm saying you're too high on him if Fournette plays, you're too high on him. That's all.
If I had White on any, well, I do have White on some teams, and I might change my team name to Rashad Walter White. Well,
that's a terrible team. Think, that is so.
No.
No, there's nothing. You know,
it's not as good as Oyelowo.
Olave. It's for a criticizer of team names. You probably don't have one good team name. Not one.
That's correct. I have two girls, more cups.
Everybody's been there, done that. Been there, done that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't put the same amount of time into the team names as you do.
Time.
Adam,
okay? This comes off the top of the head.
Every league I've ever played with Adam in, he has like a very, I'll give you, some of them are great. Alex Menorah, one of the best names in the history.
Alec Menorah. Say it and respect the team name.
Don't give him credit for that one, please.
Oh, is that you all along,
that's
Jamie?
Mine.
No way.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Adam claimed that as his own.
BS. No. That is such BS. That is totally me. God. That was totally me.
Adam, did you really claim that as your own?
I think, honest to God, I think we both arrived at it at the same time.
No,
when
that's
we
not
drafted
possible.
Alec Menorah, Alec Manoah.
There's no way you both arrived that.
When we drafted Alec Menorah, we had this moment of clarity where we absolutely knew that our team name had to be Alec Menorah. We knew it right then and there. I think we okay, both arrived at the same time.
All that junk aside, let's say
I don't want to be
junk
here when Jamie checks the text messages to find out he's telling the truth. So I am going to end the show before this reveal. For Jamie and Dan and Zach. Go ahead.
Let's do it.
We're up in the draft. Alec Menorah, your reply. Alec Menorah would be a great team name.
I said it. There you go.
But Jamie's the one who said Alec Menorah.
You said Manoah or Menorah?
Menorah.
Are you sure that's what it says? You said it first?
I said Alec. Oh, no. I said Alec Menorah.
Yes.
Alec Menorah.
Yes, it was me.
Oh, no.
I knew.
No. No.
Yes. All right. We're out of here. Later, everyone.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.